Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This broadcast is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we continue with part 14 of our series of programs entitled The Vatican and Europe. We will discuss more about these programs after we've had some music.
Voice in
the Vatican and Europe. We continue with part 14 of this important subject with answers from the Bible. Over the course of a number of weeks, we are discussing the following. Where in the Bible do we find the Vatican mentioned? Where the Bible shows the Vatican's roots come from? Why Jesus mentions about the Vatican in the Bible? How long Jesus predicted that the Vatican would rule for? And what lessons has Jesus for us about the Vatican today? In our study last week, listeners, we learned that the creation of the welfare state and the social services in society has been set up to hinder a person's freedom to live and function as God originally planned. Satan has worked through the Vatican and intellectual organizations which believe in the Vatican's ideas, like the Humanist Society, in order to flood the governments of Europe and America with Roman Catholic social teachings that will eventually enslave people. We learned last week that the Vatican believes that it has the right to control every aspect of our lives forcibly. Its idea of the common good is not based upon what God states in his word as good, but rather, common good is based upon whatever the Roman Catholic Church deems is best fit for the men. The Vatican then seeks to enforce its ideas of common good through the state. Where is this all leading to? We will find out this week, listeners, as we continue to study from the Bible. So, before we start our study this evening, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet from London. Lord, as we study your word this evening, we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us and to teach us those things in your word that we need to know in order for us to be saved in your eternal kingdom, is my prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Vatican in Europe, Part 14. And that no man might buy or sell. We read in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to 18. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Listeners, Revelation chapter 13 is one of the most well-known and most misunderstood chapters in the Bible. The Lord reveals in verses 16 to 18 of this chapter a time when all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, will be caused to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The Lord also reveals that the number of the beast is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, why is there such a detailed description of events here? The Lord needed to give all of this information to his church in order that there could be no misunderstanding about who he was describing. The Lord needed to give all of this information to his church in order that there could be no misunderstanding as to what his people were to look out for as events are to come to pass in this world. We read in John chapter 13, verses 13 and 19. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am, Jesus says. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Here we see the reason why the Lord has given Bible prophecy. It is so that when the events that the Lord has mentioned come to pass, then we can know and believe that he is truly the Lord and Master of the universe. Then we may know and believe that he is the I Am, he that was and is to come, the Almighty. When we are studying the Holy Bible, listeners, we are studying divine revelations, for which God is due the most reverential worship and respect. The words of God that are written in the Bible are a revelation of the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ himself. And so, listeners, let us now study to see how the prophecy concerning the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13 relates to the Vatican. Let us remind ourselves once more, listeners, what the beast symbolizes in Bible prophecy. We read in Daniel 7, verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. A beast is a kingdom. It is a political power that is ruled by a king or ruler. In our previous radio broadcasts, we looked at the places in the Bible where the Lord mentions about the first beast of Revelation chapter 13. We have seen that the Vatican is the only power in world history that has fulfilled all of the identifying marks associated with this first beast of Revelation chapter 13. The Lord calls this power that wicked, 2 Thessalonians 2:8, a beast, Daniel 7:19 and 23, the man of sin, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the little horn, Daniel 7:8 and 8:9, and also mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, Revelation 17:5. Using these Bible texts as evidence, and from the historical fulfillment of these Bible texts in world history, Protestant reformers have for centuries identified this first beast of Revelation chapter 13 as the papal power, or the Vatican. These being the facts presented before us, let us now look at what the Almighty God foretells that the Vatican will do in the future. We read in Revelation 13, verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The infliction of the deadly wound points to the downfall of the papacy in 1798. After this, says the prophet, his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Paul states plainly that the man of sin will continue until the second advent, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3-8. To the very close of time, he will carry forward the work of deception. And the Revelator declares, also referring to the papacy, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. But the question is, how does the papacy receive homage or worship? We read in Revelation 13, verse 4, and they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? The Lord states that by worshipping the dragon, Satan, people worship the beast, papal Rome. So here the Lord explains to us that the individual worships satanic government because they worship the person who has set up satanic government, Satan himself. The Lord therefore teaches his servants that who people worship determines the form of government that they will worship and will be loyal unto. And here is the principle that we must look into deeper tonight. First of all, what does it mean to be loyal to God's government? How is it determined who worships the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is? Let us read a number of Bible texts. We read in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We read in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. We read in Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We read in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And we read in John chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus speaking, he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The Bible declares that those who rest on the seventh day Sabbath and who keep the Sabbath day holy and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, these are they who truly worship him. This is because they have allowed the Lord to recreate them into his image through the power of the Holy Spirit. These are those who have made a conscious decision to accept Christ as their creator and redeemer. These are those who have put away their sins and serve him. They really, truly love him. They have desired to be like Christ and have allowed his righteousness and love to reign supremely in them. And so those who reflect the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, reflect his perfect love through the power of the Holy Spirit, through obedience to all of his commandments, these are those who God calls his saints. This is what it means to truly worship God. Note that the observance of the true Sabbath is the sign that distinguishes those who serve God from those who serve him not. This being the case then, for people to worship the beast, to worship satanic government in the form of papal Rome, then the opposite must be true. We will see how this is the case. We read in Revelation chapter 17, verses 3 and 5. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. As we studied in part 6 of this series of radio broadcasts, the reason why papal Rome is called Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, is because the papal system of government is a continuation of the Babylonian mystery religion that was set up originally by Nimrod and his wife Semiramis after the flood. At the center of this worship, the first day of the week, the day of the sun, Sunday was kept sacred to honor Baal. The worship of Baal is really the worship of Nimrod. The religion of Nimrod, wherever it is found, degrades its followers because it endorses sinful acts. It is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which through the power of the Holy Spirit destroys sin from the human heart and restores man into God's image. And so, Sunday worship on the first day of the week was set up in this world as a counterfeit to the true seventh-day Sabbath of the Lord. As worshipping the Lord in the beauty of holiness on his seventh-day Sabbath is the sign that a person is loyal to God's government, worshipping Satan in the ugliness of ungodliness on the day of the sun, Sunday, is a sign that a person rebels against God's government. As we studied in parts 5 and 6, through the teachings of the devil's disciple, Simon Magus, the religion of 666, of sun worship, of the serpent god, Satan, began entering into the Christian church. It eventually grew into the system of religion called the Roman Catholic Church. The Vatican means divine in serpent, because the religion of the Vatican is the religion of the serpent. We read from page 113 of The Trail of the Serpent by Merle Vance. Though the early church leaders showed themselves strongly opposed to Gnosticism, many scholars point out that it was later embraced by the church. Montfaucon tells us that demon worship was carried on in the early church by those claiming to be bishops of Jesus Christ. And the Gnostics, as we have already seen, combined the worship of the serpent with the worship of Christ. They combined the elements from the Babylonian, Persian, Egyptian, Greek, Roman, Hebrew, and Christian religion into the universal or Catholic system, which embraced all others. It is but natural that they should take over also the summary number, which includes in its mystic embrace the whole circuit of the heavens and all its gods, the number 666, the secret and most sacred number, we believe, in all paganism. We will also read from The Great Controversy, pages 53 to 54, by Ellen G. White. Satan, working through unconsecrated leaders of the church, tampered with the fourth commandment also, and essayed to set aside the ancient Sabbath, the day which God had blessed and sanctified, Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, and in its stead to exalt the festival observed by the heathen as the venerable day of the sun. Vast councils were held from time to time in which the dignitaries of the church were convened from all the world. In nearly every council, the Sabbath which God had instituted was pressed down a little lower, while the Sunday was correspondingly exalted. Thus the pagan festival came finally to be honoured as a divine institution, while the Bible Sabbath was pronounced a relic of Judaism, and its observers were declared to be accursed. And so we see how Sunday worship has passed down from the time of Nimrod to the time that we are living in today, listeners. To worship the beast, Papal Rome, entails not only honouring the day that Papal Rome has set up to worship it, Sunday worship, but it also entails living like Papal Rome. It means to live in harmony with its religious teachings and the anti-Christian Roman Catholic social system of government that it has set up. As we studied before, this system of government was first tried out in Paraguay by the Jesuits, then unleashed by the Jesuits in the French Revolution. From there, the Roman Catholic social teachings of the Jesuits has spread all throughout the political and intellectual circles that are in this world. They are gradually being enforced upon all aspects of our society, whether it be the financial, business, or scientific, whether it be the medical, educational, legal, or religious aspects of a person's life. The Vatican is working to control and direct every person that is in society. We read in Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." And so can we see now, listeners, how what the Lord has said is true. Look for yourselves at the present system of governments that we have in Europe, and even now in the USA. What kind of teachings do they seek to enforce upon the populace? What do they enforce upon society as being law? Which power has been the main influence for the education, nor and religious interests within these parts of the world? Which power is more and more behind the regulations that control and guide the scientific, medical, and financial aspects of Europe and America? How does the influence of Europe and America in these areas affect the rest of the world? As we have studied over the past 13 weeks, you can be sure that in all areas you will see the influence of the Roman Catholic Socialist movement. As we read last week, John W. Robbins writes on page 195 of his book, Ecclesiastical Megalomania, "The Roman state is a hybrid, a monster of ecclesiastical and political power. Its political thought is totalitarian, and whenever it has an opportunity to apply its principles, the result has been bloody repression. The Roman church state in the 20th century, however, is an institution recovering from a mortal wound. When it regains full power, it will impose a regime more sinister than any the planet has yet seen." So we will have a break and continue with our study afterwards.
Voice in the Wilderness is a gospel ministry that was established in 1992. From small meetings of prayer and Bible studies, it grew into a national outreach resource and has since grown over the years into an international ministry that not only carries out evangelistic work through books and tracts and videos, but we also conduct prophecy seminars, health talks, religious liberty meetings, and carry out publishing work. Today, utilizing the latest electronic and printed media, our work has expanded and spread abroad around the world. In Africa, North, South, and Central America, Australia, the Caribbean, and Europe. We are a non-profit organization, and our work is supported by the prayers and goodwill of the people. If you would like to join our mailing list or offer prayers or give financial support, please contact inquiries at wildernesspublications.org, or you can call 440-7962-388-445 for more information. Visit our online bookstore at www.wildernesspublications.org. Visit our radio station website at www.vitwradio.org. May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to listen to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio.
Listeners, as we stated in part 12 of this series of radio broadcasts, on the Vatican News website, an article dated the 4th of March 2021 is entitled "EU Bishops Call for Nations to Protect Workfree Sunday." It states, "The bishops of the European Union and the European Sunday Alliance are urging EU leaders to protect synchronized free time, which most nations traditionally observe on Sunday." The European Sunday Alliance, ESA, is a network of more than 100 national Sunday alliances, trade unions, employers' organizations, civil society organizations, churches, and religious communities committed to raise awareness of the unique value of synchronized free time for our European societies. They state that Sunday, and more general, decent working hours, are the focus of our campaigns. In our founding statement, we draw attention to aspects of life-work balance and social cohesion that depend on a vast majority of people to have their lawful free time at the same time. Heading the European Sunday Alliance are individuals who are also part of the Christian Democrat Union, CDU. Ron Fraser, in his article on the Trumpet website, entitled "Yet Another Jesuit Gains High Profile in an Award Ceremony," on April the 22nd, 2013, had written, "We now have a Jesuit Pope Francis a Jesuit president of the European Council, Herman Van Rompuy, a Jesuit president of the European Central Bank, Mario Draghi, and fulsome endorsement by the Italian Jesuit technocrat Mario Monti. For Pope Emeritus Benedict's blueprint of a new global financial order. And now a Jesuit recognized as Communicator of the Year by one of the largest financial companies, German-owned, on the planet. Can't we see the trend here? One would have to be blind not to. This is not just coincidence. It is the outcome of the promotion by Holy Roman elites of their own stormtrooper representatives into positions of influence as they move to put the finishing touches on their grand imperial dream. Alliance notes that Friar Lombardi represents the key to understanding and interpreting the Holy See with great refinement and experience. So why would a German financial giant consider understanding and interpreting the Holy See with great refinement and experience as a necessity? Perhaps it recognizes the importance of Rome to the ultimate goal of EU elites, of gaining the cooperation of EU nations in yielding to their fiscal vision, something which amid today's euro crisis remains distasteful to many. Perhaps it recognizes that the only glue that will eventually bind those nations together in the great economic, financial, political, and military union necessary to achieve their imperialist dream is the glue of religion, the religion of Rome. We read again tonight the 2022 article of the Jesuit European Social Center website, entitled Herman Van Rompuy at ELP, where it documents Herman Van Rompuy as being former president of the European Council 2009-14, and Jesuit alumnus. Herman Van Rompuy, a politician from Belgium's Christian Democratic and Flemish Party. And so, if the Jesuits are at the centre of European Parliament, preside over the European Central Bank, and are highly honoured by leading financial companies in Germany, and also have an influence over trade unions, employers' organisations, civil society organisations, churches and religious communities through the Christian Democrat Union, and if all of these institutions are being led through the influence of the papacy to legalise for Sunday to be a day of rest, then can we now see how God's word is true? Now listeners, let us look into the area of health. We read from an article on the Vatican News website. Holy See granted permanent observer status at the WHO. The WHO, which means World Health Organization's 74th World Health Assembly, adopted a resolution on Monday granting the Holy See a non-member state observer status. The Holy See has been accorded a non-member state observer status by the World Health Organization, WHO, the United Nations Specialized Health Agency, a proof of the Church's involvement and commitment to issues concerning the human family. On Monday the 31st May 2021, the World Health Assembly adopted, by consensus, resolution, participation of the Holy See in the World Health Organization, presented by Italy, which formalizes the participation of the Holy See in the work of the World Health Organization as a non-member state observer, said the Holy See press office in a statement on Tuesday. It said, "This decision reflects the relationship that the Holy See has continuously maintained with this organization since 1953, and it bears witness to the commitment of the family of nations in addressing, through dialogue and international solidarity, the global health challenges that afflict humanity." Now, what is an observer status? According to the annex of the WHA resolution, the Holy See, as a non-member state observer, shall be accorded in the sessions and work of the Health Assembly the Executive Board and the Program, Budget and Administration Committee of the Executive Board, the rights and privileges of participation as set forth in the annex of the resolution. Most importantly, unlike a member state, the Holy See, as a non-member observer, does not have the right to vote or to put forward candidates. According to the annex, the Holy See has the right to participate in the general debate of the WHO's World Health. It can make interventions and be inscribed on the list of speakers without prejudice to the priority of member states at any plenary meeting of the Health Assembly, in its main committees, in the Executive Board, as well as in the Program, Budget and Administration Committee of the Executive Board. The Holy See can reply and raise points involving the Holy See without challenging the decision of the presiding officer. It has the right to co-sponsor draft resolutions and decisions that make reference to the Holy See. In the Assembly Hall, the seat of the Holy See will be immediately after member states. Now, listeners, remember what we studied in our last radio broadcast about interventions. Another word for intervention is to interfere, and forcibly. And this is what the Roman Catholic Church does through its socialist policies. Though the article mentions that since 1953, the Papal Office has maintained a relationship with the WHO, this privilege afforded to it in 2021 officially granted to the Vatican the right to enforce its ideas on global health. I will now read from an article called The Changes in the WHO's Health Regulations, published by Abel and Bente Stuxnes of Christian Information Service. It reads, "The World Health Organization, WHO, is about to achieve an international agreement that will dissolve national sovereignty and replace it with a global medical and financial dictatorship that will take away the national independency of the member states, the authority of the individual state, and the people's immensely valuable right to privacy regarding health matters and freedom to travel. The International Health Regulations Review Committee, IHRRC, in the WHO has met in secret to finalize a 46-page document that includes proposed changes in the International Health Regulations, the IHR. The International Health Regulations is an existing, legally binding international law. If the proposed changes will be presented to the 76th World Health Assembly, Sunday, May the 21st, to May the 30th, 2023, they can be adopted to a simple majority of the 194 member states and will be legally binding for all. The proposed changes will change the overall nature of the WHO from an advisory organization that only gives recommendations to a governing body whose proclamations will be legally binding. Article 1. Seek to remove the full respect for the dignity, human rights and fundamental freedoms of persons. Article 3. Give the Director General of the WHO the control of the means of production through an allocation plan for health products, to request developed countries to deliver pandemic response products as directed. Article 13a. Give the WHO authority to require medical examinations, proof of prophylaxis, proof of vaccination, and to implement tracing of contacts, quarantine and treatment. Article 18. Redirect unspecified numbers of billions of dollars to pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex without accountability. Article 44a. Considerably expand the WHO's authority to censor what they regard as misinformation and disinformation. According to the already adopted rules by the IHR, if the proposed changes are adopted, the member states don't need to take further actions. If adopted, the proposed changes will be legally binding for all member states, regardless of whether the delegates from each country vote for or against adopting them. What will happen after this? And so, listeners, as we have just read, who is now officially overseeing this all in the World Health Organization? Papal Rome. We are drawing out all of this information tonight, listeners, to help all to understand that when the Bible states that the whole world will wander after the beast and that no man will be able to buy or sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, then it means what it says. God does not lie. Satan has, through the Vatican, for more than 1,000 years, slowly been gaining control of the world in order to have an influence over and to direct and control every aspect of human life. Listeners, to give you all more concrete evidence about the extent of the Vatican's influence in world affairs, as we are living in a world driven by visual media, like the cinema and the theatre, let us briefly look at some of its history. Let us see who some of the leading proponents of cinema and theatre have been, and why. We read from pages 409 and 411 and 418 of The Power and Secret of the Jesuits by Rennie Phillip Miller. The tendencies, plots, theatrical methods and modes of presentation of the Jesuit theatre correspond in an unmistakable manner to the hell and passion drama prescribed by Ignatius in the exercises. It might almost seem that the dramatists and stage managers of this theatre, mindful of all those things that Ignatius tried to awaken in the imagination of his followers, had been brought them onto a real stage, assisted by striking settings, costumes and properties. As in Europe, the Society of Jesus also made use of the theatre in the missionary field in order to work on the feelings of the people and to make them more accessible to Catholicism. Sometimes, indeed, the theatre appeared the sole effective means of bringing peoples of foreign culture over to Christianity. Simultaneously, therefore, with the setting up of Jesuit theatres in all parts of Europe, similar institutions sprang up in India, Japan, Brazil, Mexico, Peru, and Paraguay. Everywhere, the heads of missions regarded it as one of the most important duties to become competent theatre managers, producers, or dramatists, and the pupils at the mission schools were zealously trained to become not only good Christians, but good actors. In many Jesuit theatres, there were trap doors for ghost apparitions and vanishing acts, flying machines and cloud apparatus. On every conceivable occasion, the Jesuit producers made divinities appear in the clouds, ghosts rise up, and the eagles fly over the heavens. And the effect of these stage tricks was further enhanced by machines producing thunder and the noise of winds. Now, from an article called The Catholic Imagination of Hitchcock on the America the Jesuit Review website, written by Sean Salai, dated July the 8th, 2014, we read, "Raised in a strict Catholic household, Hitchcock, 1899 to 1980, attended St. Ignatius, a Jesuit high school in England. A lifelong practicing Catholic, he once said in an interview with Peter Bogdanojevich that the Jesuits taught him organization, control, and to some degree, analysis." Now, reading from an EWTN GB Global Catholic Television Network article called "The Catholic Priest Who Changed Hollywood," we read, "As a Catholic who works in the media, I recently became aware of the work of American professor Stephen Werner, who has been teaching religion and philosophy in St. Louis for 28 years and is also an expert on the Hazed Cold. Together, we wrote about how the cold, which changed Hollywood, was based on a document written by an American Jesuit priest, Father Daniel Alysius Lord. The cold was enforced by Will Hayes, 1879 to 1954, President of the Motion Picture Producers and Distributors of America, MPPDA. Its application changed over time, and it often caused controversy, ranging from complaints about lax application to accusations that it suppressed freedom of speech and freedom of expression. See https://ewtn.co.uk, article The Catholic Priest to Change Hollywood. And so we see how the Vatican has had a leading role in shaping the film industry. From pages 475 to 476 of The Power and Secret of the Jesuits by René Philip Miller, we read, "The Jesuits, however, have not limited their service in the Army of Christ to the stillness of a cloister or to the debates of ecclesiastical convocations, but have extended it to the whole world, to the cabinets of rulers and ministers, to parliaments and universities, to the audience halls of Asiatic despots, to observatories, physiological and psychological institutes, the stages of theatres, the Congress of Learned Men, and the tribunes of political orators. They have sought to subordinate all man's thoughts and feelings to the faith. They have claimed the whole noisy world, with its wealth of interests and objects, as the sphere of their religious activities. They have demanded to be accounted men of the world with worldly men, learned men with the learned, artists with the artists, politicians with the politicians, and to be regarded as equals in all these circles." So listeners, as we round off our study this evening, let us remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has warned us about in the book of Revelation. A time is coming on this earth when God's faithful people will not be able to buy or sell at any price. He has warned us that at this time, Satan will control the world through papal Rome. The decree will soon go forth, prohibiting men to buy or sell of any man, save him that have the mark of the beast, the mark of papal Rome, which will be enforced Sunday worship. In the last great conflict of the controversy with Satan, those who are loyal to God will see every earthly support cut off. Because they refuse to break his law in obedience to earthly powers, they will be forbidden to buy or sell. We have been documenting, week by week, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power that will lead to this religious enforcement. Revelation chapter 13 brings to view a second lamb-like beast, or satanic government, that will be an ally of papal Rome. It will lead out the world to worship papal government by force. We will continue to study next week about this major development that Jesus has foretold will happen in this world. So we will have another break and come back with our closing thoughts.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make thank you. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in
Listeners, we have endeavored to show tonight that receiving the mark of the beast and not being able to buy or sell is determined upon a person's spiritual condition before God. It is not determined by whether you have a barcode or some kind of electrical implant or by wherever you have some outward mark. Escaping from or receiving the mark of the beast is determined by whether a person is obedient to all of God's commandments, whether they choose to rebel against the government of God. The worshippers of God will be especially distinguished by their regard for the fourth commandment, since this is the sign of God's creative power and the witness to his claim upon man's reverence and homage. The wicked will be distinguished by their efforts to tear down the Creator's memorial and to exalt the institution of Rome. In the issue of the conflict, all Christendom will be divided into two great classes: those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, and those who worship the beast and his image and receive his mark. Although church and state will unite their power to compel all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark of the beast, yet the people of God will not receive it. Revelation chapter 13, verse 6. The prophet of Patmos beholds them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Revelation chapter 15, verse 2. We read in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Listeners, heaven will be cheap enough if we obtain it through suffering. Let us endeavor to be true to our God, whatever the cost. We will be studying much more into this matter of gaining the victory over the mark of the beast and how to prepare to meet this crisis in our next few radio broadcasts. So, listeners, let us now pray to close this study this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord, and for, in your love and mercy, warning us, Lord, about the time that's to come upon this earth, where all the world will wander after the beast, Lord, and where only those who are faithful to you and who keep your commandments will escape its mark and escape, Lord, all that entails around it. Heavenly Father, help us not to take this life for granted. Help us to remember why we live. Help us remember, Lord, that you've given us the time to accept your eternal salvation. And help us not to be afraid or scared of the plans of the enemy. As long as we're, Lord, in your hands, as long as we dwell in your love, as long as we give our hearts to you, and Lord, that we're obedient to all of your commandments and that we're willing to make whatever sacrifices are necessary in order to be saved, we can be safe from the wrath of satanic government. So bless us and keep us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would all seek to have a clearer understanding of your word. And these things I pray and ask In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions, if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. You can also listen to and download our radio program podcasts at https://voice-in-z-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. On next week's program, we continue with part 15 of this series of radio broadcasts called The Vatican in Europe. Well, that's it for tonight's radio broadcast, listeners. Until next week, good night and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.